Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for September 22, 2006. This week, we report on a new observation of dark matter, and Chelsea answers a listener's question about your uvula. Don't worry if you can't quite remember what it is, just stay tuned. But first, noise pollution is not just a problem in big cities anymore. A new study shows it's also showing up in some unexpected places, like underwater.
This is how a ship sounds to a whale. It's loud, and scientists think it might interfere with how sea mammals communicate and find food. Now a team has discovered that ambient underwater noise has increased 10 times since the 1960s, at least in the Pacific. But it's not just that the number of ships has gone up. John Hildebrand of Scripps Oceanography says traffic has only doubled since that time.
So a very significant part of the increase comes from the fact that the ships themselves must be generating more noise. And this is the fact that the ships are bigger, they travel faster, they have, you know, greater total tonnage that they're transporting.
Hildebrand and his colleagues were able to do this analysis because they found declassified Navy reports from the 60s on the ambient noise in the Pacific, part of the Navy's Cold War defense. They were then able to make recordings in the same spot and compare them. Although it's not hard to prove that noise has gone up, he says what is hard to prove is that it's having an effect on the mammals.
The insidious thing about this is the ambient noise has been increasing at probably a fairly steady pace. And so there wouldn't be some dramatic event where all of a sudden the marine mammals, you know, would be doing something differently. It's tricky to figure out what the impact really has been.
But he says it may not be as hard as it might seem to convince the shipping industry that noise is a problem. Quieter ships would be better for the crew and should be more energy efficient. He adds that in looking for a solution, scientists may turn again to the Navy, world experts in being quiet underwater.
Thanks, Chelsea. Scientists at the National Institutes of Health have finished a comprehensive scan of the human genome in search of genes linked to alcoholism. They found that as many as 51 regions might play a role in making people susceptible to alcohol abuse. They hope their findings will help them understand all sorts of addictions and lead to better prevention and treatment. In related news, scientists have found that the average alcohol content of beer, wine, and liquor sold in the United States has gone down since the 1950s. They say people now choose mixed drinks and light beer over stiffer drinks like whiskey that were common back then. But people drink more now, so the total amount of alcohol consumed is, in fact, slightly more than it was in the 50s. Next, routine childhood vaccinations are one of the greatest medical success stories of the modern era. Yet for some children, the vaccines don't work as well as they should. Justin Warner tells us why pollution may be involved.
Industrial pollutants called PCBs are especially harmful to children, with effects ranging from low birth weight to lower IQ. Now a new study suggests that they can also compromise childhood vaccines. It was led by Philip Grandjean of the Harvard School of Public Health in the University of Southern Denmark. His team studied the native children of the Faroe Islands in the North Atlantic, many of whom eat PCB-contaminated whale blubber. The higher their PCB exposure, the fewer antibodies they produce to tetanus and diphtheria vaccines. Although PCBs were banned by the EPA in 1979, they can persist in the environment, working their way up the food chain and accumulating in animal tissue. Today, PCBs are still found in many foods, especially fish, fatty meats, and dairy products. As a result, most people have some level of PCBs in their systems, which is why Grandjean's results could explain some unanswered questions.
It has long been a mystery in pediatrics and immunology why some children react very poorly to vaccinations, and other children react very strongly the way that we hope that they would all react. I think that we now need to look at environmental pollutants as part of this answer to the question.
His data suggests that even the average PCB exposure of American children may be high enough to have an impact.
Thanks, Justin. Astronomers seem to have finally proven that most of the matter in the universe actually exists. It's called dark matter because it doesn't emit, absorb, or reflect light, making it completely invisible. Yet for decades, scientists have assumed it was there because the gravity acting on galaxies was too strong to come from visible matter alone, unless we just misunderstood gravity. But now University of Arizona astronomers claim to have confirmed its existence by analyzing the path of light passing by two colliding galaxies. Team leader Douglas Close says this means astronomers can breathe a collective sigh of relief.
We didn't really want to try altering the laws of gravity. That's much more fundamental to do than to assume that there's something that we haven't discovered out there yet. And so now we can actually turn our full attention to actually going out and trying to figure out what it is.
Close says that's challenging not only because the dark matter is invisible, but also because its density is incredibly low, which means its gravity is detectable only on the enormous scale of deep space. Finally, some parts of the body just don't get much respect. Chelsea's here to answer a listener's question about one of them.
Your uvula is that plumb bob of tissue that dangles at the back of your throat. Brian Myhura of Houston, Texas, notes that cartoon animals often have uvulas, but wonders if real animals do. Well, otolaryngologist Yehuda Finkelstein of Tel Aviv University looked for uvulas in 9 types of animals, including sheep, dogs, baboons, and chimps. Of all the animals, he found that only 2 of 4 baboons had tiny, underdeveloped uvulas.
We can conclude that only the human has the uvula, because in all the other mammals that we have examined, there was nothing, no uvula.
So what's it for? Finkelstein has found that the uvula secretes a special kind of saliva. That, combined with the fact that no other animals have it, suggests that it evolved in order to help lubricate our vocal cords so we can speak. It's also needed to make sounds used in some languages, including Arabic and German.
And if you're curious about an obscure body part or have any other reasonable G-rated science question, call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use it in the podcast, you'll win a Science Update mug, sure to please even the most discriminating uvula. Please tune in next time when we'll learn about some very acrobatic ants and get an estimate on the number of new dinosaurs that are just waiting to be discovered. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.